I'm going to start with a little activity here. And since Brother Chris, my volunteer, I get to do a new one. James. Thank you for volunteering. You can put this pretty little mask on. It matches so well. Did you get enough? I'm talking to him right now. Okay, so I have a little activity. We're going to talk about how James is going to listen to my voice. Whatever I instruct you to do, I need you to do. Okay. I need you to take about 4 steps forward. 2 to the right. Stop. Wait. I need you to take a big step forward. Pull your foot up. There you go. A little step to the left. A little bit more. Okay, take 2 steps forward. Big step to the left. A big step up and over. Round. And you take a little step back. Turn to your left. Go straight for 4 steps. Stop. You need to take 4 steps forward. Maybe come to the left a little. Take a step to the left. There you go. Now go forward 3 steps. Turn to your left. Come forward confidently 5 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Stop. Now I need you to squat as far as you can. There you go. Just hang out there for a minute. So tonight I'm going to talk about hearing God's voice. I'm not God, but I was trying to get James to listen to my voice, to trust me, to not want to feel his way, although accidentally sometimes you have to when you're doing things. So I was watching this video clip that really powerful, really moving, and they kind of had this exercise, and I wanted to kind of use it as a base for my lesson tonight. And they talked about, you know, sometimes we say, God, you set the things up, put it all in place, and then I'll go. And God says, no, you go, and I'll set it up. So just like with James, he didn't know where he was going, but we set up a stool for him, and he sat down once we led him there. He didn't say, set that up so I can find it, and I'll sit there. So a lot of times, you know, we think, well, don't you think that God knows exactly where we are in our lives and our situations and what's going on with us? That we don't need to tell him how to order our steps. You know, he knows when there's something, there's an obstacle that he needs to step over. Maybe he's walking you around it. He knows where you are because your steps are ordered by God. And now, James probably feels a little bit ridiculous right now. He's in this nice little floral pink mask and being paraded around blindly. He probably doesn't care for that too much. And sometimes we may think, you know, God, you're putting me, I look ridiculous. As good looking as I am, as dignified as I am, you want me to do what? You want me to scrub toilets? I mean, I am better than that, right? So sometimes God will ask us to do things that we don't understand and we think we look ridiculous. But we have to walk by faith and listen because, as Brother Alan preached this morning, he's looking at the big picture. We're seeing where we are right here. So a lot of times, you know, James did very well. I probably would not have been that trusting. We want to trust, but we're like, yeah, I hear you, and I'm going to listen. But we want to feel our way to make sure you know, I don't want a big bruise on my knee. They might run me right into a table. You know, sometimes we don't trust. Even, you know, your companion, your best friend, they're like, yeah, you can do this. And you're like, I know you. You're going to run me into a table, right? So we know better than to trust some people to do things. And so he did really well. He didn't reach out and try to touch anything. He guided himself. He listened to what I had said. And so a lot of times we want to do that. We want to say, you know, I got to feel something first, God. You know, you've got to show me that this is, you know, sturdy. It's not this shaky little bridge I'm walking across here. I need to feel. I need to see all the senses. And so there's going to be a lot of voices in your life. If you haven't had some already, there are going to be a lot of voices in your life. If you go to high school, there's a lot of voices in your life, right? There's that kid that says, why do you dress like that, right? Why can't you go to this party? Just don't, right? I had one tell me, just don't dance. Go to the dance. Okay, that's kind of dumb. What am I going to do? Just sit there? But so they'll tell you all the things that you don't need to do, or why should you do, or and there's all these voices. And then they can be convincing. You know, maybe you run into someone that claims to be a Christian, which unfortunately is about 99% of the world anymore. They just have their own sense of religion. They do what they want to do, and God understands. And so, you know, I run into several of those, and it's like, you know, I'm a Christian, and I don't do all that stuff. That's not necessary, you know. I had one tell me that they didn't even really go to church because God and them talked, and they had their own relationship. Wow. Then you must have skipped a few things in the Bible because that's not what he says in there. So there's a lot of voices you're going to hear. And I thought about the shepherd, and the Bible refers to that a lot. We've got the scripture of the shepherd hears my voice, and he knows my voice. And if you study about shepherds, they don't just come for anyone. And if you have a pet, it's probably the same way. You have a dog, and you've trained them to command, and they listen most of the time. If someone else gives a command, they're probably not going to do it. They're not used to that voice telling them what to do. And so, like, we are sheep, and my sheep know my voice. Sometimes it may be, as we're sitting there mindful and trusting along, maybe a voice that we don't quite recognize, but it's one of our peers. Hey, let's just go hang out. Let's just go here. Let's go do that. Sounds innocent enough, and we just start listening to that. And so it's hard to filter out all the voices, and especially in today's day and age, it seems like there's so many distractions and so many voices that you feel like just saying, shut up, right? Just give me a minute, and let me hear what I need to hear. So we're going to have James do something again. All right, James, stand up.
Spin around three times.
Take a step to the front. Take a step forward. Take a step to
hop,
your left.
Hop back.
Go straight.
To the left. Right now, quickly.
Turn around.
Quickly.
Take a step forward.
Bunny hop.
Take a step to the right. Four steps.
Left. Go left.
Turn around to your left. To your other left. Oh, yeah, okay, so you're right. There you go. Take four steps forward.
On one foot, please.
Take four steps forward more.
Turn left.
Keep
turn
going.
Left.
Go straight.
Back.
Turn
go
left.
Back. Come on. Let's go back.
Turn left. Turn. Take two steps right.
Go back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two steps forward.
Go backwards. Back here.
Two steps forward.
To your right. Come on. Over here.
Turn.
It'll be fun if you come over here.
And sit down. Very good. You can take the blind follow. So was it hard to hear what I was telling you to do? What he was telling you the same thing? Actually, it wasn't telling you the same thing. Was it hard to hear what I was saying? I was going to confuse myself. But it's hard when you've got another voice going at the same time. No, do this, no, do this. And he's not going to outshout these other voices. And so sometimes you have to stop. And I saw you stop. Wait a minute. What voice said to turn right? What voice was it that told me to go forward? And you really have to filter out those distractions. Now, the devil's not going to shut his mouth. He's going to keep it running in whatever shape and form, person that he can, to distract you. And again, like I said, God's not going to, like, over-talk. He's not going to have this booming voice, so you're going to have to stop. What was it that God said? Not what this one said. not what this one said. What did he say? And I think of the song that, I don't even know who else sang that. I remember the TJ sang it. It was a group of young men. The voice of truth tells me a different story. And it says, to all the voices calling out to me today, I will listen and obey to the voice of truth. And so that really rings true. You know, you're going to hear a lot of voices. And it's the voice of truth you can stop and listen to. So you're going to have a lot of voices of persuasion. You're at the time of life where people's going to try to persuade you. And if you aren't 100% sure, well, let's say, you know, you're not sure if you like the color blue, and someone's determined to make you like the color blue, they might sway you. But if you're like, I am determined, I mean, that's kind of a cheesy thing to say, but I like the color blue and can't change my mind about it, no matter what you say, how you discuss it. So you're going to have the voices of persuasion, and they can get loud sometimes. They can get really loud. You'll have the voices of temptation. It comes in all shapes and forms. It's not going to be always go drink, go smoke. It's not going to be go steal. It'll be other temptations that are just smaller that's going to lead you to the bigger temptations that don't seem like much at the time. There'll be the voices of confusion, which James heard when there were several voices going on. There can be voices of confusion trying to still doubt at you. Yeah, you're a race to God, but I mean, really? You think that's necessary? I mean, you think you're really going to not make it to heaven if you don't do that, or if you wear that, or if you go there? I mean, really? And you'll start throwing doubt on your heritage and what you're grown up with and what you, and as you as a teenager, you always start to question things because you've got to find your own experience. So you start questioning, what do I believe? And why do I believe it? And if you're not really sold out on what and why, there's going to be confusion and doubt. Voices of negativity. I know I did last keeping the cross lesson, and so you'll have the voices of that, the ones that's already in your head telling you the things that we've talked about. And then there's people that are just cruel and unusual sometimes, and they'll say it to yourself. And you said you'll have the voices of negativity. The voices of gossip and lies. A lot of times, did you see what she's wearing today? That outfit is hideous. It makes her look like a balloon, you know? I mean, and you're like, oh yeah, absolutely. That's not really edifying. And you really don't want that to come back to be said about you either. So you're going to hear voices of that. Then there's voices of reasoning. And as you get older, and probably a lot of times when you go to college, you're going to have professors that's going to try to reason with you. They're going to try to really put to test what you think you believe. There'll be voices of counsel, and that a lot of times that can be opinion, you know. So be careful who you take counsel from. Is it a youth leader, as an school teacher, a pastor, a parent? Or is it from another young person that maybe comes to church 3 or 4 times a year and hardly ever around? Well, you know, that sounds pretty good. I mean, we don't want to trust that. We want to trust godly counsels. Watch your counsels. Even it could be a teacher sometimes. You know, I had some teachers that were pretty persuasive on what my life plan should be. You should go to college for this. You should, you know, join this group. And I'm like, no. And if I was easily persuaded, it could have led to a different career, you know, career path or different place that God had put me. So when you have all these voices, are you hearing God's voice through all of this? Again, like I said, he's not going to shout it at you because he wants you to seek his voice. He wants you to do it because you've chose. That's what you want to listen to. That's what you want to do. He's given us a choice a long time ago to be a Christian or not be a Christian. And he's still giving you that choice every single day as you seek him and when you pray. And you know, sometimes maybe when we pray, sometimes we think we hear God's voice. But how are we praying? Is it, God, now I want a godly companion, but I want that one. I want that one. And God's like, no, that one, God, that one. Or I want that job because, you know, it pays really good. Who cares that in a year that place may not even be there and I'll be looking for another job? I want that job. And so how are we praying? We're not listening to God's voice. We're telling him what to do. And I thought about Braxton here. He knows Chris and I's voice. He chooses a lot to not listen to it. A lot. He's in that wonderful stage. So Chris always asks me why I'm shouting at home, because it seems like that's what gets his attention. When I raise my voice, he knows, wow, I gotta stop what I'm doing. I need to be paying attention. Even at that moment, he still has a choice. To continue on his plan, which he does a lot, of what he thinks is best for him, or to see what mom's telling you to stop doing. And so it's crazy if I would tell you, as a two-year-old, he knows what's best for him, I'm just gonna let him figure it out. You would be like, you need to have your head examined, right? He's two. He can't just go run out the street and play with cars. He would try. He would try. Trust me, he would try. He can't play with the candle because he's gonna get burned. He's already tried that too. So you can't just let him figure it out because he's two. He doesn't know better. And so that would be the same thing as saying, a Christian, I have all the answers because I'm a Christian and I know what's best for me and for my life plan. And I thought about what Brother Foster brought forth the other morning. It was really good that we have one shot at being a Christian in this life. I'm never going to be this age again. Sadly, I'm going to be older. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to go back to my life and say, okay, when I was 20, yeah, let's skip that because that was not a good idea. I'm going to do this instead. We don't have do-overs. We don't be like, oh, good, like a test retake. I was like the ones that they said, let's do it again. Sweet, because I know what I did wrong on that answer. We'll change it, right? We don't have that option. We can change things to make our course a little better as we go and learn from our mistakes, but we only have one shot through life. So when you're walking by faith, like James was walking by faith, he had to listen. And our walk with Christ, he doesn't show us everything. And I believe it was brought forth in Keaton again. I can't remember who brought it forth, but God doesn't always tell you or show you because you can't handle it, maybe, at the moment. And that always reminds me of Corrie Ten Boom when I make that comment, how she said that she didn't understand why this luggage her dad was carrying it for her. And he said, it's too much for you. You can't handle it right now. You're not big enough. And you know, she thought about that through her life, and she went through some horrible, horrible situations. And if you haven't heard that story, read the story, well worth your time. That kind of stuck with her of what she was not prepared for. If she would have been told where she was headed, what life was going to hold for her, it might have just sent her, you know, to Crazyville, because it would have been too much to think about. And so sometimes we can't handle what God has out there. We're like, yeah, that's not the best choice. I don't know why you're picking that choice, God. That's not the best choice. And so we would probably spend a lot of our time telling God what to do. And so when we have to walk by faith and we get to that moment, we're like, okay, I don't really want to be here. Like James is probably like, I really don't want to walk this way because I hear chairs. I'm going to run into one, right? But it'll be all right. I'm pretty sure she's not going to do it on purpose. I didn't. If you run into one, I didn't on purpose. So sometimes maybe God's leading you down, you know, when we come to a mountain, we're always like, I'd rather go around it. Over seems like a whole lot of work and a whole lot of hardship, and it's going to be tiring, and I'd rather just either move it or just kind of have a path around it. But maybe that mountain is bypassing something else that would be even worse that, you know, we can't see. And I think about, you know, the GPS has become very, I guess, more intelligent than the very first one that we had that would, you know, I'd be going in circles with that one. But now it seems like it knows there's a speed trap ahead, there's construction, and you're like, wow, how does it figure all this out? So I thought even about with like the GPS, if it would reroute us and take me in a different way and say there's a construction, there's an accident, you need to go this way. And I'm like, well, that's nonsense, because that adds 30 minutes onto my trip, and I'm going to go this way because I don't see the accident, I don't see the construction, so I'm just going to go. Well, then as I'm sitting on the freeway for, you know, 2 hours, I'm going to be like, why did I not listen? Why did I not listen to this who satellite view, saw what was there, and I could have saved all this time and I could have already been to my destination? And then I thought about the first time I heard God's voice. And so maybe you haven't heard God's voice yet. Maybe it comes in an impression. I know we had an altar call last night. If you have an impression of a need in your soul, a need to move, maybe an impression to sing a song. Kind of feel like a little bit of heaviness in your heart, like, okay, I think God really wants me to sing this song. And maybe you've had an impression to testify, but not distinctively have heard an audible voice. And it doesn't happen all the time. I was 18, I think, when it happened, for the very first time to me. I had a very horrible situation I was going through, and it decided to take a drive one day, and this was before GPS, because I didn't know where I was going, and I really didn't care. At that moment, I just needed to drive and clear my head, and if I ran out of gas, so be it. But I needed to go, and I had all of these things pondering in my head. I'm 18, I've graduated from school, and there's all these things. I mean, was it this path? Was it this path? There was persuasion over here. There was hurts over here of people walking out of my life. And I thought, I don't understand. I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. And he said two words, stand still. To the fact that I actually looked in my passenger seat to see if somebody was in the car with me. What? Stand still. And that was just telling me, we don't make a decision right now. We're staying still. And as I look back, I mean, I'm obviously way past 18. As I look back, there's some decisions that would have really changed the course of my life. I probably, most likely, would not be here today if I would have made some of the decisions that were laid out to me at that time that I couldn't decide what I needed to do. This seemed like not a right or a wrong answer. It just seemed like an option at the time that was better. And so I think, you know, how important it is as you look back and you're like, wow, I mean, I may not have even been a Christian if I would made some of these decisions, and how important it was to hear God's voice. And I was able to do it when I went on this drive. There was no other voices in the car. I didn't have the car radio on. I didn't have a cell phone at that time. And I was able to have that quiet moment where God's voice I could finally hear. And so, as we try to seek, and we've talked about before, all the decisions that you have ahead of you with college or high school courses, and now this year, who knows how your year is going to be planned out. Seems like day to day it probably changes. What do you need to take? You know, what's important? And you have a lot of things to take in consideration. Should I buy this car that's like way over my budget because I like it? Or should I stick with this one that's more affordable, just to find out that in a few years, you know, there might be something more expensive you want, and you know, you have a school loan. And I remember in Nick Peoples one year, actually happened to two young men, this sort of the church year, and they decided they were going to buy him a truck. Great big, nice, newish truck. Well, you know, within the year they got married, and that truck became very expensive because now they had to find a place to live, and now they had a wife to support. And they're like, I shouldn't have bought that truck. So there's a lot of things to think about, and I know you have a lot of decisions to make coming up. But we need to make sure that we're hearing God's voice. And I thought about a lot of times maybe when people, I don't know if you've been around them, you're having a conversation with them, you're talking about something, and they start talking over you. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Are they even hearing what you're saying? Like, well, why, I was saying that, okay. And nobody's hearing anything because you're not hearing them because you're coming back. Well, no. And they're coming back and nothing's being heard. All was talking. Or maybe they come to you and they're like, okay, what's your advice? What do you think about this? And then you go to tell them and they're like, nah, I don't want to do that anyway. I plan to do this. Why'd you ask, right? Why'd you waste your breath? Come and talk to me about this. And so we think about that, how God must feel when he wants us to hear his voice and he's trying to talk to us and we're talking over him. We're telling him what we need in our life. I don't need this. I need this. This is what's important to me right now, not what you have planned for me. And I know I've talked before, and I probably, if you talk to any number of saints in our congregation, they would not have chose a lot of the situations they had to go through. They were hard. They were hurtful. But they learned a lot of things. And looking back, there are situations that I'm like, I would never do again, but it was very helpful. It was very needful, and I grew from it. And so, as we are going through life, we just need to make sure that the voices that we hear, and I think about Sister Goins' song, his voice makes the difference. He's the one that's going to be able to take care of the situation for you. He's the one that's going to be able to carry you through. He's the one who God sent his son to die for you. I think he has your best interest in mind. So his voice is what's going to make the difference. Not your best friend, Susie Q, who thinks your best choice is, you know, this path over here. He knows his voice is what's going to make the difference in your life. And so John 10 and 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So I just wanted to challenge you as through the camp meeting, we're going to hear a lot of messages. And I love what the Bert said in the night. In every message, God sends a personal size message for each one of us. There's something for each one of us that's just for us. And so I love that there's something that we need to be listening for as we go to each. And I've already heard so much already that I'm like, wow, I needed that. All right, that's challenging. I didn't think about that. And so as just encouraging and challenging you as you go forward this week and throughout, and to, especially as school's getting started, to make sure the voices are not so loud that you cannot hear the one that's going to make all the difference in your life.